Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting here from the bright red desk with Max on my green chair and Remo on the green couch. Everybody's riding side saddle. And it's a beautiful night here in Manhattan on the Isle of Manhattan, and I'm joined by my good friend Heather. Heather, are you there?
This is Heather Owen Robbins from St. Paul, Minnesota, in a hot, muggy, 90-plus degree night. We're waiting for some thunderstorms to come through in a bit, and I gather there's a tornado landing where I used to live in North Dakota, so kind of exciting.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is exciting. And Mark is swimming in the Adirondacks or the mountains of some northern state with his wife. And they're camping, so they're not calling in tonight. They're having sketchy cell phone service, so he was like not checking in. So he's under a moonlit sky, or not moonlit sky, it's not under a starry sky. So what we do here on the weekly weather of Access Astrology is we talk a little bit about what's going on in the heavens above us, the weather report, and then we take calls from listeners. And we had quite a few people already called in queue with their hands raised when I called in before. So we have callers with questions, always good. But
Mars,
this is a big one.
Scorpio,
this is a big one. Yeah, Mars is out of Scorpio. We're in Sag now, Heather. What's that been for you?
Oh, what a huge relief. I felt like this giant weight went off when Mars left Scorpio. And I'm thinking that's why there's so many callers on. All of a sudden people are restless, ready to go, looking and feeling more positive about the future. That Mars in Scorpio, I mean, it's powerful and it's great for focus, and I finished a book while it was on, but it was a long haul. It was on most of the time from January till now, with minus about 6 weeks in March and April. And it really put the pressure on, it brought up the worst of humankind. We have saw so many mass shootings. We saw the worst of politics. We just generally stirred the bottom of the human psyche. And it's been moving on. I could feel that lightening up. I think Mars in Sagittarius now wants the truth. They're not necessarily quite as suspicious in a, sure, there's dark things under that rock. But they really want to see the truth, and they want it transparent, and they want to see it now. That's Mars in Sagittarius.
Right.
How would you experience
it? A level of impatience, too. Was like, okay, I need to go for a walk today. Went out for a long walk. I'm like, oh, what the hell is that? Mars in Sag. Been trying to get more exercise, so that was good. But I was like, looking forward to the walk. There's also a lovely new moon, which kind of got the trine from the Mars and trine from the Saturn. So people are really, lovely new moon in Leo that happened yesterday afternoon at 4:44 East Coast time. And it was a lot about, you know, okay, time for the heart work. And, you know, Heather, this whole year, you know, I've been doing these new moon webinars on the new moon, and the moons have been very complicated. There's been fingers of God and T-squares and hammers of Thor and keys and kites. And this was like just a T-square. Okay, focus. What's the heart path? And it was like all the noise went away, and it got quiet, you know. And I have to say, just even in 2 days, the Facebook posts have changed. People are like deleting each other and and now they're kind of like, can we all do peace and love, you know? Can we talk about
animals.
Happy things? Huh? Yeah.
And
just
here's
in
some
a
animals.
Day.
Mars and Sagittarius loves animals.
Right. Well, my aunt mailed me a very cute thing of little kids with kittens and dogs and stuff. But it was like, can we be happy? You know? And I think that's the energy of that shift from Mars getting out of the water, out of the swamp, running up on the beach, and hanging out by the bonfire of Sagittarius. So he's got a vision. And he's inspired, and he's feeling restless. And, of course, it's a mutable sign that was not so focused, but it's running around like a little crazy person getting things done. And that's good. So, and then the other thing that happens is Venus goes into Virgo this week on Friday. And she's
joining
all about, she's going to be in Virgo till the end of the month, the 29th. But she makes the list. You know, she's process-oriented, so it's kind of like the fall has arrived, but she's going to have the list of all the things she has to do and get done to be ready to roll. So there's a lot of energy with organizing and structuring, and I don't know, I sat down and got through a whole pile of papers, and one of my assistants is on vacation, so the other one said, boy, you know, she does a lot of work. Because she's doing the job for both of them. And I'm like, yeah, she does. You both do a lot of work. I'd be shit out of luck if you both quit. Hopefully nobody quits. But it was like you realize hopefully. When somebody's gone how much they do, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's been interesting.
And that is, yeah. And I think that it'll help us plan ahead because Mercury's retrograding at the end of August when we retrograde for the first 22 days of September. So this Mercury and Venus in Virgo ahead of schedule while the Sun is still in Leo, even though we really need to keep renewing and enjoying the summer because I think it's going to be a very busy work year. But so while the Sun's in Leo, it's still time. Don't think too far ahead. Make sure that you get your time resting and renewing and playing and romping. But the planning ahead, our minds will just can't help but turn towards the fall and the ideas that we may be cooking. And it's good to get some of those moving and in place now while Mercury is direct and moving fairly quickly. Towards the end of the month, Mercury slows down, retrogrades for the first 3 months of September, a great time to review the past and reconnect with old friends, but not a great time to launch forward. So think about that now. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Because you want to kind of really push. And it is, we're still also wrapping up. I mean, although it feels full steam ahead, the other pieces, Mars and Saturn, have one more meetup on the 24th of August. And two days before that, Mars goes past his station degree. So the whole thing with going past his station degree, he's going to push into the next space. And he clears stuff. So this week, next week, and the week after, a lot of energy about wrapping up and finishing things because he's really back cleaning up the March-April stuff that kind of got stalled. So I had a few people this week come and say, you know, I'm just feeling like I'm moving again. And I'm like, yeah, well, we are, you know. But there's still leftover stuff. And so watching that and saying, well, what does that leftover stuff look like and what do we need to do to get it cleared? That's important as part of the journey here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, in the next 3 weeks before we get to the 24th of August, because then it's really all, it's all Sag all the time, you know, Saturn and Sag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mars and Sag. Go, go, go. So we're also in the buildup to the eclipses. The eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming, which is always cool. And what that does is it invites us all to look at our lives in a new way when one of the lights goes out. So this is the buildup from new to full, and then there's an eclipse on the 18th, and there's another eclipse on the 1st of September, and then another one on the 15th of September. So there's three in a row. The first one's in Aquarius, 24. The next one's Virgo, 9-10. And then the last one is, I don't even remember, 24, I think, Virgo, Pisces. So when we're in eclipse season, we also eclipsing, we leave, we let go, we release. So this is an excellent time, as the buildup happens to the eclipse, to release what you don't need or to get aware of what's the last bits you do need to release. So it's cool. There's a lot of energy running around out there.
And it's interesting also, Saturn is slowing down, getting ready to pivot, to turn around. There's a lot of work that may have been on hold since I think it was March 23rd, it was in the late March era, when Saturn turned direct, and some work that we were doing, some political work, emotional work, social work, some foundational work, may have been put on hold at that time. Something slowed it down. Something delayed it to be reviewed to make sure that the foundations are good.
Deferred the
I
decision.
Saturn can be quite literal, and I watched my mate go through spinal problems, just very severe sciatica that has really slowed down the summer, and as dealing with some Saturn transits, slowed down the work. But during that time, there's been a real rebuilding of the general health of the body while dealing with the back. Often when you've got those retrogrades and something can't go forward, it's because you need to stop and redo something, get the foundations more solid and more in place before it's ready to launch forward. So it'll be interesting to see how work begins to shift next week.
Yeah, Yeah. And what day is the station, Heather?
What day is the station? I was just looking at it. Hold on. I'll be right there. And we also have Jupiter getting ready to go into Libra, which I'm quite excited about, even though I've loved having
it
in Virgo.
Yeah. That wasn't meant to be a trick question. I thought you knew. It's on Saturday. That's 13th.
Yeah.
I thought you knew.
Friday, early Saturday. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At 5:51 in the morning, yeah. Yeah, so it's, yeah, so it wasn't, but yeah, and then Libra, that's September 9th. I've been waiting for that one for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But our job, you know, when Saturn goes direct also is as he pivots, he kind of turns to us and he goes, okay, now I'm going to go forward. Ready? And
mm-hmm.
and then it really, I mean, with Mars, we're feeling the shift. But then when Saturn pivots, the two of them together are galloping off. So it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really get to understand what Saturn and Sag is going to be about. You know, how that lays out, how that works, what we do with it, and what the story of it is. So very busy times.
Very busy times
indeed, yeah. And our job, you know, is kind of, you know, it's part of where we are in the world and what's important to us and what do we want to do and create and be and then go forward with that. It's really an understanding of what that looks like. And I think it's important as we enter this new time, this new energy coming in, is really remembering all the stuff we've been working on since January. Because it does feel like it kind of fell off, like suddenly we're free.
Yep.
But and it did fall off, literally. I mean, Scorpio, we're out of the swamp, but it's where are we going? Mm-hmm. And not to forget the valuable lessons we've had rolling around in here. So interesting times we live in indeed. So
yes,
anything
indeed.
Else you want to warn people about or suggest to them?
Well, next week we've got, you know, and we'll get a little bit of review on that next week when the moon goes into Scorpio on Tuesday, Wednesday, right before our next talk, because it's always a sense of contradiction when the sun is in so outgoing Leo and Venus is in Virgo, Mars is in Sagittarius, and the moon is in Scorpio. We're going to be feeling those mix of contradictions. And the Virgo and Scorpio so introverted, the Leo, Sagittarius so extroverted. So make sure that you spend some time alone in each, some time with both. Out there, dealing with people, playing in the woods, being outside, socializing. And when you feel that need for time alone, take it. Take 10 minutes. Take a walk when you're with your relatives. Get that time alone, and don't corner someone who, when you're feeling sociable, but they need to go read a book, let them.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, they'll come back pretty quickly. But if you don't, they will act like a cornered rat and snap. So just notice that. It's a fixed T-square, and it's solid, and people won't budge easily. But other than that,
mm-hmm.
I think it looks like a really interesting week. A lot more room to move than we've had for a while.
Yeah, which is great, great. That part's really interesting.
One thing I am worried about is Uranus is slowly backing up. It's retrograde, and it's going to conjunct Eris again. And
three times.
And mm-hmm. that last time it conjunct Eris was the shooting in Orlando. And it's going to come back, and it's going to be a while because your Eris is also going slightly retrograde. But we'll feel it most of September while Mercury is retrograde. And just we can sort of begin to feel those places, the tension that's underneath the ground. Another thing, though, it's fun, but it's interesting. We've had some interesting solar storms lately, and the weekend of the 12th, 13th, we have the Perseid meteor shower, one of the biggest meteor showers all year. And I've
mm-hmm.
noticed that when there's a solar storm, and it's not always with the meteor showers, people get tired during a solar storm and then energized afterwards is what I've noticed. And also with the meteor showers because, I mean, I think of the image is we here on Earth are receiving material from out of our planet, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the outer parts of the solar system. And it often seems to seed new ideas where we didn't know we had them, options, fresh approaches afterwards. So it can be a little tiring during.
A little tired during what? Say it again.
During a solar storm or a meteor shower.
Oh, okay.
Shower.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly solar storms. But it should be interesting. It'll be beautiful. Look up in the middle of the night between 1 and 5 around the 10th, 11th, the 9th through the 12th most of all.
Mm-hmm.
Great meteor showers.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of people on hold. Shall we bring
them
on?
Take some calls. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a plan. You want to pick?
You go ahead.
All right. Hi, 202-281. You're on the air. Can we help?
Hi, lady. Yes, you can. Yes, it's K3580 at 1:29 a.m.
Wait, 3-5-1980.
Yeah.
And what time?
1:29 a.m. in Philly.
Okay.
In where?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I had a crazy year, but I met a dude, and I'd like to check him out. I don't know his time, but I have his date of birth and location.
And you're asking about a person?
Yes.
Okay. And what first name, or can you, or any old name will do?
We'll say Mark.
Okay. And so, when was Mark born?
July 18th, 1979.
And you're not sure where or when, but you're asking
sure
about
where.
A comparison to your chart.
Yeah, he was born in East Sussex in England.
Okay. But we don't know when.
No, I'm not sure of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
79.
Your question is how long have you been seeing each other?
Let's see. I met him probably about a year ago and
mm-hmm.
kind of moved away, and we've been keeping in touch.
And you're trying to decide what to do about this?
Yeah, I just see what you feel in terms of, I guess, compatibility or what type of, you know.
I'm sort of looking at your chart. You know, there's some nice connections to your chart. You're both water signs, the Pisces to Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're both in Venus-ruled signs. If he was born, no, he probably has a moon in Gemini. It's hard to tell that day.
I think it's Taurus, I believe.
You think it's Taurus?
Yeah.
If it was Taurus, then that would go well with your chart because of the Venus-ruled sign.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, I see that Uranus is going back and forth opposed your moon, so you're not
mm-hmm.
exactly feeling settled yet about anything.
No.
No. And it looks like you know, your Aquarius moon's in your third house coming up to your south node in Aquarius, that you really need your community now more than you need an ongoing, steady, intense relationship.
Mm.
Mars and Saturn are in your 12th. Mars, Saturn will be coming across your ascendant this year. And Mars
mm-hmm.
will be coming across in a few weeks. So there's a lot going on inside of you.
Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of deep personal work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that step forward with this person, but listen to what you actually need. And
mm-hmm.
compatible as you two might be, it just doesn't look like what you need at the moment is to dive headfirst into a relationship. What do you say, mm-hmm. Anne?
Well, I was kind of struck by the wrap up of her Pluto transit to the to it, and it's opposite his Venus,
yep.
Stationing on that. So I'm kind of like, what's the triangle? Maybe it's the distance. He lives in England, or is there another person that he's involved with? You both have Mercury retrograde, so that gives some difficulty in communication. You know, in terms of knowing what the true story is. So is he involved with somebody else?
No.
Or
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
You don't think so?
My
okay.
heart is
or,
with someone else, though.
Mm-hmm.
That could be
pardon?
It. My heart is with someone else.
Your heart is with someone else. So, okay.
There's the
all
triangle.
All right, so that's, I was going to say there's a triangle energy with this. So that's really the story, is working out that triangle. For you, with Uranus opposite your moon Pluto, what is it you want? You have the Neptune on the ascendant, so that sextiles your moon Pluto, and that tends to make when the relationship that you're in is having stress or trouble or you're not sure what you're doing, the chart's going to go outside. Mm-hmm. You are having Saturn-Neptune in the sky, squaring and setting up your natal Saturn-Neptune. So you're having what we call a natal excitation. So you're really at a crossroads. Mm-hmm. To Heather's point, you know, what is it you're looking for you? I think he represents some kind of dream of something you want that you're maybe not getting with existing partner. But the, whatever the triangle is, you know, we go outside because it feels easier, safer, a little better. And then we're not dealing with our local stuff. So that would be where I would say with Uranus stationing to go retrograde till December back over your moon Pluto, what do you want to do with your existing story? And what is, or what do you want to do with the triangle, right? And then when Pluto stations to go direct the last week in September, I think there's some clarity there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're kind of at a big crossroads about what direction to head in. And because of the Saturn-Neptune, because the Saturn-Neptune square, you know, in the sky, it's like, well, what's the structure of your life that you want? And Pisces sometimes have trouble with that. You know, I mean, I've got a Pisces moon. You know, it has great intentions, but then the reality kind of comes in. So I would say focus on current situation with Jupiter on Saturn and figure out what you want to do with that. And then explore triangle energy, you know, and then figure out what you want to do with Mark. That would be my suggestion. It's not an incompatible Sun trine Sun. That's nice. Mercury retrogrades match. You're both Saturn Neptune. That matches. You know, all that's lovely. And he can be very connected and related. But he's also a Cancer guy, and a lot of times they like being in a relationship with people who are already in one, because then they don't have to commit. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And well, some of them, and some, but
not all of them.
If they think it's their idea, but Uranus he looks like he's kind of going through the ringer, like he's having a harder time with this than you are. I think that if you can remember to, don't consolidate all of your issues around the men. And there is, it looks like a lot more about where are you at home in the world? What's your work? And have you finished some of your own personal emotional homework because you're ready to kind of launch a new cycle as Saturn and Mars head to your first house in the next couple of months? So, you know, I'd say let them figure it out. Let them wait. And don't rush into any direction that doesn't fit you, and focus on what you can do something about. And the you'll see which of the men actually supports your growth and which of the men wants to distract you from your growth because they want to be your focus.
Very deep.
Okay,
makes
good luck
on
that.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
You are welcome so much. And you have a lovely Mars in Sag because it's coming across the ascendant, so that should be fun.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so let's take another one. Hello, 913. You've been holding a long time. You there? Can we help?
Hey, Ann. Hi, Heather. It's Andy. Thanks for taking my
Andy.
Call.
Hi, Andy. What's your birth information?
March 24th, 1965.
Mm-hmm.
12:05 p.m. in Urbana, Illinois.
And how can we help you tonight, Andy?
I had a great meeting with some folks earlier today about some potential future job opportunities. And although there isn't anything currently, it sounded quite promising that there may be something coming up in the near future. So just wondered if you saw what you saw regarding that.
Looks good to me.
I was going to say, the new moon was right in your first house.
Yeah.
Very nice new energy coming in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I say thumbs up. Looks good. North nodes on your Mars Uranus. Yeah.
your progress Mars on conjunct Jupiter on the cusp between your 10th and your 11th house, it's a really expansive year for you. Whatever it is, it was a hot lead. So if they don't have work for you, they know someone who does. So follow it up. Be enthusiastic about this. And it looks like if you keep that pot simmering and good things happen.
Wonderful.
Yeah, no, it
Thank
looks
you both
really
so
nice.
Much. Yeah.
You're
Is
welcome.
There any kind of a time frame at all? Do you think like it's 6 months, 8 months, a year?
Oh, I think it goes pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
oh, wow.
I think you'll know in the next 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. They're ready they're ready to move and make decisions by the beginning of October. So
and,
I would anticipate it soon. Yeah.
Your progress moon just passed Neptune. Things are just starting to really clarify in your life. We'll clear up even more in another month as the moon, your progress moon, gets past your natal Neptune and moves into your fifth. Your progress moon is coming out of a long trough in the bottom of your chart. We've been doing a lot of personal work and heading up towards the horizon and moving into growing more energy in your life. It looks
Excellent.
Good.
Yeah. Great. Thank
looks
you both
nice.
So much.
Okay. Good luck.
Have a good night.
Good night. All right. We got time for one more. The hold time. Come on, computer. All right. 954, you're on the air. How can we help?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is I'm Natalie, and my date of birth is 11-19-1981.
11-19-1981. Great. And time?
Mm-hmm. At 5 a.m.
Where?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay.
And
what's your question?
It's about a guy. I don't know his time, but I know his date of birth and where he's where he was born. His name is Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And his date of birth is September
21st,
1984.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he's Kingston, Jamaica.
Hmm.
Okay. And so your question is, how does he go with you?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or is there another question? I mean, I just assumed that was your question. You may have another question.
No, I just want to know how he's, what his connection with me.
It's past life. He falls in your 12th house. So what happens with the past life connection is it comes in really strong and it feels very magical. And we don't know his moon, but it's up there on the midheaven. Mm-hmm. So there's a very strong sense of tribe and family with him as part of, you know, how he connects into your chart. And because his south node's on your Uranus, he's very exciting for you. He's kind of part of your tribe. Feels like you found your home and your family when you're with him. And that's hard for you sometimes because you're a Scorpio and protective of who you are. You know, and the moon in Virgo doesn't always feel like it fits in. But he definitely makes you feel like, wow, you're my people, you're my tribe, you're my whatever. His Mars Neptune's on your Neptune, so there's part of him you're not really seeing clearly. That said, you know, you're having a real strong desire to learn about who he is and what's going on with him. So I would proceed because he's definitely showing strongly in your chart, lands strongly in your chart. You know what you do with it down the road, you know, that you may decide, oh, you know, not sure what I want to do with it. Heather, what do you see?
Yeah. I'd say take your time with him, but he looks delicious, so enjoy his company. He has some troubles, and you can really bug him when you can get a little ticked off with him, with your Mars and Virgo, when he seems like he's promising one thing with his sweet kindness or the look in his eyes, and then it doesn't always happen. So you have to listen to what he's actually saying and to notice what he's actually doing. And you can feel the energy there, and the energy is true, and he is having trouble making some decisions in his life in other ways, and he's got some very deep old trust issues with his Venus-Pluto conjunction applying in your 12th house. So I'd say give him time. Watch him carefully over time. Enjoy his company. Don't hurry it up. And it looks like our time is up.
He has trust issues.
Yes, he does.
Okay, because I feel like it's very strong, like it's karma, because it have that tithe and pull and shove. He's always present, and like his presence is always known for some reason.
Yes,
which is good, but
you
haven't had. The Saturn's coming to his Mars Neptune. That when he flakes out, not he isn't doing it now because he's really in the rapture with you right now, but when he flakes a little, you know, because he does a little swim away thing. When he gets stressed, he kind of disappears, which is going to freak you out.
He comes and goes.
Right. Well, I call a guy like him the flying fish. When he's there, he's there. When he flies away, he's gone. So my posture with guys like this is I kind of say, think of him as like a cat outside, and you're feeding him tuna fish, and he comes over and he rubs your leg, and he rubs your leg, and then you try and pick him up, and he bites you. Or he comes in the house, and then he goes, okay, I got to go out now, and he takes off. And so you got to kind of let him do that. Dance and then watch, as Heather said, watch him to see what he says versus what he does. But he definitely feels the attraction. He's just afraid.
And again,
so.
And it's not. Yeah, he feels the attraction, and it's not that he's not sure about you. He's not sure about relationship or being trapped. And it's again, so just time and trust helps.
Yeah,
thank you.
And you're a Scorpio.
Thank you
guys
so
are patient. You are patient people. So that's the good part.
We're done with our radio
Virgo
show,
every now and then.
So we should probably. I said, I think we're done with our time.
Yeah, we're done with our time.
Thank you.
And
you're welcome.
You so
good
much.
Luck with it.
Okay, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, so that's it for Blog Talk Radio. Access Astrology. Heather and I are signing off for the night. She'll be on vacay next week. I'll be back. And hopefully Mark will be back from the woods, wherever he is. And we wish you a great week and
a wonderful whoosh week.
Of new energy with Mars and Sag. Get those to-do lists cracking.
Yes. Enjoy the outside as much as you can. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.